Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
David Noble filling in for Aaron Flint. If you missed the 6 o'clock hour, that was my Medicaid expansion hour. You'll want to check that out on the app. I got a message here from Evan and Belt from last night. He says, you know, I expected Liz Cheney to endorse Kamala Harris. I think she has been more than, as one listener says, an undocumented Democrat. She, in my opinion, is a full-on Democrat, and that is why the people in the great state of Wyoming sent her packing. However, I have tried to give her father the benefit of the doubt. I thought he was a decent man until now. Turns out he is no different than his daughter with his endorsement of Harris. I think he has just taken us all quail hunting and shot us, just as he did to a hunting partner in 06. This tells me of the apathy he has toward conservative Americans and arguably doesn't seem to care if our nation goes under. Evan and Belt, well said. Well said. That basically sums up entirely exactly how I felt, which was, you know, Liz Cheney, clearly a Democrat, leftist, but, you know, Dick Cheney, I always would never have expected this. You know, shout out to, you know, at least George W. Bush is not endorsing Kamala Harris. But yeah, that's a disappointment for Dick Cheney. Really kind of, to me, that endorsement by Dick Cheney of Kamala Harris, frankly, kind of confirms a lot of what the Democrats always said about Dick Cheney, which is kind of, you know, ironic. Menace from Ennis says, quote, the Federal Reserve wants the government in debt. It wants states in debt, like Cali and Massachusetts. These states need federal money to stay afloat. So expanding Medicaid allows states to go bankrupt. If you push private industry out, price control becomes an issue. Obamacare drove the cost of health care up 200%. Employers can't offer insurance to their employees because of the increase. The health care industry is becoming overregulated and costly. Exactly, Menace for Menace. And the way that you bring the cost of health care down in this country is you get the federal government out of it. And the way that you make high quality, best in the world healthcare available and affordable to all, and you know, with good customer service and affordable and high quality care, is you get government out. And now, of course, the Democrats are totally misconstruing and misinterpreting, you know, what Sheehy's plans are for healthcare reform. But here's the deal, folks: the Democrats own our healthcare system right now. Our healthcare system right now is a direct result of Democrat policies in D.C., starting with President Johnson in the 60s and Medicare and Medicaid, all the way up through Obamacare, now controlling everything. And so this is a disaster. This is a pathetic joke. Our healthcare, our health insurance, and our healthcare system in this country is an absolute joke. It is terrible. It needs to be completely revamped, start from scratch. And the Democrats own it. And Menace from Menace is right. Healthcare costs skyrocketed under Obamacare. It's now over $24,000 for a family health insurance plan for a year. And even then you have to pay $5,000 or $10,000 out of pocket for a deductible. It's a total scam. This system is a joke. And the Democrats are responsible due to Medicare and Medicaid and Obamacare, period. They own it.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. Nearly 5 years after the start of the pandemic, there's concern about commercial office space in big cities. Remote work policies and high borrowing costs contributed to that. Experts doubt that some commercial buildings will never recover to their pre-pandemic value. The market's troubles have caught the attention of Congress. Faced with vacant office buildings and a shortage of millions of homes to meet demand, a bipartisan group of lawmakers is trying to make it easier for developers to convert underused properties into housing. Republican Ohio Representative Mike Carey teamed up with Democratic California Congressman Jimmy Gomez to introduce a bill this summer establishing a temporary 20% tax credit for qualified property conversion expenditures. New York State lawmakers have also sought to stanch the bleeding by encouraging conversions to housing. New York City developers who set aside a quarter of an office conversion's units for affordable housing can qualify for a 90% tax abatement. Fed Chair Jerome Powell voiced concern. He said commercial real estate risks, quote, will probably be with us for some time, probably years. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Here's a look at your real weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunshine and some areas of smoke and haze today, high temperature readings will stay in the mid and upper 80s. Tonight, skies stay clear with some areas of smoke as well, as temperatures will drop back off in the lower to middle 50s. And the outlook for Wednesday calls for developing showers and storms mainly in the Bozeman area. That's a look at your real weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
This is where Montana talks.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
So yeah, if you genuinely care about getting good health care for low-income and disabled people in Montana, then you should oppose Medicaid expansion, because Medicaid expansion harms low-income and disabled folks in Montana for all the reasons I set forth during the 6 o'clock hour. Hey, hey, Renee in Bozeman sent in a message. She says, voting is an honor and a privilege. Please remind your listeners there's still time to register to vote. Google your local election office for info and to print the application, or take a few minutes to go into your local election office. Thank you. Thank you, Renee, and you're absolutely right. Definitely encourage folks out there, if you're not registered to vote here in Montana, or if you've moved or updated your voter or updated any of your info or anything like that, yeah, there's still time. Go to your local election office. Print the thing off yourself. Do whatever you need to do. Get registered to vote, and vote here in 2024, November 2024. It's happening. Light Brows in Hardin says the government screws up just about everything it touches. Yes, it does. Well said. Example, my wife gave birth to our oldest son in Ghana. I paid for it out of my pocket, about $500. Second son was born, and I paid out of pocket about $1,100. Reason for increase in price was wife decided to spend the night in the hospital, try to do that in the States for that price. Too many laws and lawyers and government regulations involved. Dates were 12 and 15. Thank you, Light Brows and Harden. Well said. Yeah, apparently having a baby in the United States is going to run you, you know, 10, 15, 20 grand. So it's absolutely ridiculous and a massive joke. But, you know, that's the system that we've got. Wow, there was a bunch of terrible stories here in Montana locally. The sheriff's office in Gallatin County reports an infant death at Gallatin Gateway business yesterday. An infant died at a business in Gallatin Gateway Monday morning. This is according to KBZK. The sheriff's office said in a media release the child's mother called 911 to report that her six-month-old son was not breathing. No further details were provided. That's one unfortunate story. Here's another unfortunate story. Motorcyclist killed after colliding with a pickup being pursued by the Yellowstone County Sheriff's Office. This is from Nonstop Local, and this is from last night. Billings police are investigating the scene of a fatal accident near downtown Billings. A motorcyclist killed after being hit by a truck being pursued by the sheriff's office late Monday night. Lieutenant Brett Becker says police were dispatched to the scene for a report of a pickup versus motorcycle accident. Police found the rider of the motorcycle deceased at the scene. We got to get this crime under control. Absolutely ridiculous that you're having to have high-speed chases here in Billings. Like, this is insane. Billings Valley Animal Shelter rescues dozens of cats from a Billings apartment. This also from Nonstop Local. This is, I guess, a good story and a bad story. Bad story that this happened at all. Good story that they got rescued. This is a pro-cat radio show, by the way. I am a pro-cat. I'm a pro-cat radio host. Travis is pro-cat. We don't support eating cats. But we do support rescuing cats from disgusting apartments. Nonstop Local reports the Yellowstone Valley Animal Shelter has rescued dozens of cats from an apartment in Billings. Now the shelter is seeking donations and potential fosters or adopters for the rescued animals. I may be pro-cat, but I'm not pro-cat enough to go adopt one of these cats. I don't know if Travis, are you going to go adopt one of these cats? Maybe. He says maybe. The conditions of the rescue were extreme, and such situations are not uncommon, according to the executive director. Halverson explained mental health and economic issues can often worsen these circumstances. So that's a little bit of a sad one. Folks, open phones for the entire hour, 406-294-0970, 406-294-0970. Here's another one. I mean, listen to these local news stories. Another one from Nonstop Local. Local search underway for missing teen and son in Bighorn County. Bighorn County Sheriff's Office put out an alert for a missing person. Beatrice Horn, 18, reported missing September 9th, last seen September 8th at the Chamber of Commerce building in Hardin. According to Bighorn County Sheriff's Office, she is described as a Native American female and stands about 5'7". She was last seen wearing a red tank top, blue jeans, and a red and black Nike high top shoes. Sheriff's Office took to Facebook saying Beatrice had her one-month-old son, Howard Two Moons, with her. He has brown hair, brown eyes, weighs approximately 7 pounds, 5 ounces. He was reported to be wearing a bow tie, checkered shirt with tan denim pants. If you have any information, contact Bighorn County Sheriff's Office. So there you go, folks. There's the local news under the Biden-Harris tester regime. Nothing but bad news as far as I can tell. The political playbook this morning was all about the presidential debate happening tonight. Here's the thing. I totally anticipate Donald Trump being his normal self and doing a fantastic job. And everybody's wondering, well, how is Trump going to do debating a woman? How is Trump going to do? Well, why don't we go look at how Trump did debating Hillary Clinton in 2016? And Trump did pretty well on that one. What else? We've got Missoula County raising property taxes and also urging action on prison overcrowding. Missoula has overcrowding in its jail. So that's another story coming out of Missoula. We've got Heidi and Billings on the line. Heidi, we got a break coming up here. Short break, quick break, and then we will come to Heidi right after this. We've also got John Jackson joining us at the 8 o'clock hour, the most unwoke hour of the week, plus a couple of guys that aren't familiar with the FCC regs. Travis is going to be needing to be real close to that red button.
Democracy 24.
Ahead of the ABC News presidential debate tonight, former President Trump and Vice President Harris had very different methods of preparing. Harris said her favorite part of debate prep in Pittsburgh was getting out of it to visit a spice shop from where she took a few reporter questions, including how it feels to be endorsed by former Republican Vice President Dick Cheney and his daughter, former Congresswoman Liz Cheney.
They both, as leaders who are well-respected, are making an important statement that it's okay and it's not important to put country above party.
Former President Trump has been engaged in policy discussions with his supporters at Mar-a-Lago, but he's been a bit less hunkered down. He held a rally in Wisconsin over the weekend.
If I destroy her in the debate, they'll say, Trump suffered a humiliating defeat tonight, no matter what.
There are no other debates scheduled beyond this one, at least not yet. Jessica Rosenthal, Fox News.
Life's busy. Plan barbecues and weddings. You can plan to protect yourself from a natural disaster. Sign up for local alerts, prepare an emergency kit, and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
The House GOP stopgap funding bill to keep the government funded after September 30th locks a one-year farm bill extension. The must-pass continuing budget resolution extends government funding through next March, including USDA feeding, ag credit insurance, rural housing, and livestock mandatory reporting. But the stopgap, likely to be voted on this week, does not, as some predicted, include a one-year farm bill extension. American Farm Bureau's Joe Gilson.
That looks more likely that we'd have to get something done in the lame duck. And that could come in terms of if they want to just kick it to the next Congress, an extension, or if there's a, you know, strong support for a five-year farm bill, there's about a month and a half to get something done in the lame duck.
Gilson had expected lawmakers to hold out on another extension until the lame duck, given the bigger funding priorities this month.
I know they want to get the appropriations done with so that we're not at risk of a shutdown in at the end of September.
Again, a vote is expected on that stopgap funding bill. If a new farm bill with higher crop supports can be passed during a lame duck session, funding for it would not come sooner than fiscal year 2026. I'm Lane Northlund.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. This is where Montana talks.
Hopefully Heidi in Billings was able to stick with us through that break. Heidi, thanks for calling in.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for getting my call through.
You bet.
I was just calling about, I was just tagged in a Facebook ad for Senator Tester, put sponsored by Montanans for Tester. And I know Aaron had me on when the Putting First Responders First bill passed back in at the end of 2022. And so I was, that was a bill that I worked with Senator Daines on to get through. Took a long time, and it benefits first responders all across the country. And Senator Daines worked really, really hard on it with me for a number of years. And when this ad came out for Senator Tester, I was tagged in it by a friend, and it says that Senator Tester that's his bill, and it's got our picture on it. And so I was a little upset about that, namely for a number of reasons. Number one, it's not his bill. He did sign on as a co-sponsor, but certainly, you know, not his bill. He didn't initiate it or do the hard work on it. And having our picture on it looks kind of like we're endorsing him, which we are not. And it also says that the bill gives first responders injured in the line of duty full retirement benefits, which it doesn't. It has nothing to do with full retirement benefits. It codifies tax status of disability pensions. So it's all, the ad is just completely wrong. I've contacted Montanans for Tester to have him, ask him to take that down because it's just wrong. But I haven't heard back from them. But,
well, good info to have. Thanks for calling in, Heidi.
Yeah. So if anybody sees that out there, that ad is completely wrong.
No surprise there for an ad from Tester to be completely wrong.
Right. right. So anyway, I just wanted to bring that out there.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate the call. I wish I was more knowledgeable about that specific issue and that specific bill, but sounds like Heidi gave us all the info we needed. I saw this statistic out there. Think about this, folks. The average U.S. family insurance premium has gone from $6,000 a year in 2000 to now over $24,000 a year for an average U.S. family health insurance premium. And I have available to me a family health insurance policy that costs over $24,000 a year, which is absolutely ridiculous. This I couldn't believe. Last night, CNN actually exposed Kamala Harris for a 2019... Again, folks, this isn't, you know, 20 years ago, 30, 40 years ago when she was 18 or 20 years old. No, in 2019, Kamala Harris took some of the most extreme policy positions that you could ever imagine, and CNN actually reported on it. In Kamala Harris supports taxpayer-funded gender transition surgeries for detained illegal aliens. You heard that right, folks. Kamala Harris supports taxpayer-funded gender transition surgeries for detained illegal aliens. And that is from CNN. Kamala Harris also pledged in 2019 to completely end all immigration detention. Of course, it makes you wonder, you know, why is she going to pay for gender transitions with my money for these detained illegal aliens if there's not going to be any detained illegal aliens? She also says she wants to close all private facilities. She wants to decrease funding for ICE. She wants to end ICE detainers. She wants to basically, as far as I can tell, basically completely shut down all immigration law enforcement in this country, which, let's be honest, Biden has essentially already done. But I just, it was shocking. I'm going to ask John Jackson. When John Jackson gets here, I'm going to ask John Jackson, why do you think CNN is finally reporting something that's true about Kamala Harris, which is that she has taken some of the most absurd, radical positions known to man? Boy, meanwhile, this smoke out there is brutal. Air quality index in Billings right now of 158. Air quality index in Bozeman, 167. It's very unhealthy out there, folks. I'm looking at it right now. Can see about a quarter mile here. Usually can see 30 or 40, 50 miles all the way to the Beartooth. But yeah, the air quality index not looking so good. But we'll talk more about that right after this. It's all about the debate tonight, folks. It's all about the Trump-Harris debate happening tonight on ABC. And just so you folks know, this is being moderated by ABC News. And if you didn't know, ABC News campaign coverage has been 100% positive for Harris, 93% negative for Trump. A report from the Media Research Center, which highly recommend Media Research Center. If you never check out their website, definitely worth checking out. But Media Research Center found that an analysis of 100 campaign stories aired on ABC News, hosted by David Muir, found 25 clearly positive statements made about Harris from reporters, anchors, voters, or nonpartisan sources, which represented a 100% positive spin on the outlet's reporting for Harris. The 100 campaign stories that MRC reviewed stem from July 21st, when Harris entered the presidential race, to September 6th. An analysis of ABC's reporting on Trump found 5 clearly positive statements and 66 negative statements, representing 93% negative spin on the outlet's reporting for Trump. And so here we are, folks. We're going to have a presidential debate on ABC News when ABC News has put out 100% positive stories on Harris and 93% negative stories on Trump. Does that sound like a fair debate, moderator, to you? A organization that's 100% for Kamala Harris and 93% against Donald Trump? Does that sound like a fair debate, moderator, to you? Because that doesn't sound very fair to me. But that's fine. Donald Trump can handle it. Republicans can handle it. We've been dealing with it. Let's go to Clint in Bozeman. Clint, thanks for calling.
Well, are you ready for the debate?
I am ready for the debate, Clint. I'm going to be live streaming on my Twitch channel right before the debate, and then I'm going to turn off during the debate, and then I'm going to come back live on twitch.tv/lecturefan right after the debate to give my analysis. So, Clint, I don't know if you've downloaded the Twitch app on your phone yet, but highly recommend it.
Well, I'm not a computer guy at all.
I didn't think so.
But my wife is, and here's a question I got to ask everybody out there. You know, if you go borrow money, you got to pay it back, right?
Well, unless it's a student loan and Biden's president, but otherwise, yeah.
Yeah. Well, what has happened here in the United States? Nobody's buying our bonds when we need money, and we've exceeded what we take in. In other words, our gross domestic product isn't covering the money we spent, and we're broke. The United States is broke. So now, the dollar is becoming worth less and less under this administration. We can't borrow money. There's no countries wanting to borrow our money.
Hey, Clint, Do you have a few minutes?
Yeah.
Okay, because we're up against the break. I'm going to put you on hold. I'm not the professional here like Aaron Flint is, so I tend to take callers when about got 20 seconds left in a segment here. So sorry about that, Clint. Hang with us, Clint, through this break. We'll come right back to you.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
David Noble in for Aaron Flint. We're talking to Clint in Bozeman. Clint, thanks for hanging through the break with us.
Oh, you're sure welcome, and thanks for taking the call and listening to this old guy's talk.
Of course.
I got something that's really important. I've said what's the matter with the federal government. I'm going to talk about what's happened right here in the Gallatin Valley. I got friends of mine here that are paying Pertner $2,000 a month in taxes. That's land taxes. I myself, I'm paying around $800. Now, it seems like we've got to do something about this. There's people that's on fixed incomes that have nice homes and stuff they've worked hard for all their lives to make it nice and look nice. Then they have reappraisals come along, as you know, and reappraise it, and sometimes it goes up. Most of the time, it never goes down, it seems like. And so some of these people that are my age, I'm pretty near 90 years old, and some of these people are having to sell their homes and leave our beautiful country here in the Gallatin Valley. Now, what I want to say here, now, Gianforte, I'm not going to vote for the man again, and the reason being is this tax situation. What they've done to the taxpayer here in the state of Montana, the farms and the ranches and the people that have homes in Bozeman and around the valley, their taxes, most all of them has went up. There's a few that's went down. And it seems like when they run out of money, they want to tax the people more. The federal government's doing it, and and the state is doing it. And I don't know what the hell we're going to do, but we're going to have to do something to stop this. We cannot continue to pay these kind of taxes.
So Clint, what is your idea? What is your proposed solution?
I got a solution. A friend of mine, Bob Ellard, he used to own the stockyards in Bozeman. He didn't own them. He run them. Story owned them. But anyway, my solution is this. I don't own my land, and you don't own your land. I'd like to own my land. If I don't own it in 4 years, if I don't pay the taxes, I'll lose it and they'll sell it to somebody else.
You're essentially renting it from the government because you have to pay the government money every year, otherwise they'll take your land.
Okay, here's my solution. I think that all the farm implements and stuff that anybody buys, farms and ranches, should be tax exempt. And we should have a sales tax and no state income tax at all, and have a sales tax of 10% or 12% on everything we buy. Then, and that can't be raised except by the vote of the people. I'm tired of not owning my own piece of land, and any time I improve my land or make it look better, my taxes go up. Now, that's wrong. We're supposed to be proud of our homes and everything else, but when you take the pride against the money, then one or the other conflicts with each other.
Clint, my only question for you, Clint, and this is my response to your call, Clint, is weird, really weird that your entire call, you didn't bring up once the Bozeman City Commission and the Gallatin County Commissioners and their out-of-control blowout spending that's the reason your property taxes went up. Trying to blame the Republican Governor Gianforte, who literally passed the largest tax cut in Montana history and gave us all our property tax rebates back. I just got my check for $675 in the mail just last week. Just put it into my checking account the other day. So thank you to Governor Gianforte and the Republican legislature for cutting property taxes and sending us our money back. The tax increases are due to local governments. The state doesn't have control over that spending. Your property taxes are based on your county and your city spending. And so to complain about Governor Gianforte, who literally gave us the biggest property tax cut we've ever had, when the actual tax increases are due to your local city and your local county, You've got it all mixed up and you've got it all mixed around. You're blaming the wrong people. You ought to be blaming your city and your county. And that's who I blame for my property tax increases is the liberal Billings City Council and the Yellowstone County Commissioners who are continuing to fund things like Riverstone Health that put out land acknowledgments and other woke crap right before all of their stuff. So the issue is, here's the other thing, right? That's another reason not to expand Medicaid. To the extent that there's a tiny portion of our property taxes that do go to the state, and it is a tiny proportion, the vast majority of property taxes go to local and county budgets, period. If you're concerned about your property taxes, you need to be looking at your city and your county, not the legislature, not the governor. That's a complete Democrat talking point lie to try to trick people. Now Democrats are now the low tax party. Yeah, Democrats, we want to cut taxes. Give me a break. Everything the Democrats put out is a lie and misinformation. Again, folks, I always say, I'm so happy that Democrats have to pretend to be hardcore conservative MAGA Republicans to have a chance at winning elections. Look at the Kamala Harris campaign. Look at the Montana Democrat Party talking points on property taxes. Look at the John Tester campaign. Democrats have to lie and pretend to be conservatives and pretend to be a low tax party in order to get elected. And they have to lie about property taxes and try to blame it on a Republican governor and a Republican legislature who literally passed a huge property tax rebate to give us our money back, and when all of the property tax increases are due to Democrats in control of Bozeman and Democrats in control of Billings and everywhere else where Democrats in control. You've got counties in Montana where people's property taxes went down. You've got counties and properties in Montana where property taxes went down. Now, no, it's not in Bozeman. It's not in Gallatin County. But other parts of the state, property taxes went down. Guess what? Because they've got good local governments that didn't increase local government spending, which is the main driver of property tax increases. And then the one solution that Clint offered there was a sales tax. That's a dead on arrival. That's a political dead end. It has zero chance of passing. Not going to happen. Let's go to Don in Billings. Don, thank you for calling in.
Yeah, talking about property taxes and whatnot. We as property owners, we really don't own a property. We're basically renting our property from the government. At the end of the day, if you don't pay your tax, you get kicked out. Somebody else moves in, and they start paying the rent. That's basically what it is. We're renting our property from whether it be city, county, or state. Now, at the end of the day, who appraises our property? Who raises it? It's the state. The state reevaluates our property. So why not go to Gianforte and say, hey, you're screwing up?
So you think Governor Gianforte should have stepped in and taken over control of the property tax reappraisal. And tried to don't appraise these properties at their actual market value instead appraise them for lower than what we think they're actually worth?
Well, what I'm saying is I built my house for $35,000 in 1983. I'm still living in it. I should be paying property tax on $35,000. They're realizing a gain on my house that I haven't realized.
I agree with you on that part. My only disagreement is trying to blame Gianforte when it's your local city and local county.
I'm not blaming Gianforte. I'm just saying he needs to step up as the governor of the state and try to figure out what the problem is here and rectify it.
And he's doing that. He's got an entire property tax task force that has been looking at this, and they're gearing up for major property tax reform in the 2025 legislature. And in the 2023 legislature, they passed the most massive tax rebate in Montana history, and they gave us all of our property taxes back that we overpaid on. I mean, what more do you want from a governor?
Okay, I just want him to step up, but at the end of the day...
He is stepping up. He passed a massive tax rebate in 2023, and he's got a property tax reform, and they're gearing up for the 2025 legislature. What else would you want?
It doesn't match the increase that I got in my property tax. You know, it's a little bit of
money. For the vast majority of people, it was actually more than the increase, but you for owning one that you know, $1,300 wasn't enough to offset the increase. That's great. For most people, it was.
Yeah. Well, for everybody that I know here in Billings, it hasn't. because all their property taxes went up, and they're all griping about it. Another thing,
I'm with you on that. I'm with you on that, and that's why I'm viciously attacking the liberal Billings City Council and the Yellowstone County Commissioners.
I totally agree with you. It's the people that vote for these people, and they're not well informed.
Right.
At the end of the day, but my thing is also, as a property owner, and anybody that's a property owner in this state, they should be the only ones that get to vote. Not the kid, 18-year-old kid just out of high school, gets to vote to raise my property taxes.
And that's, isn't that what one of our founding fathers said, that democracy is wonderful until people realize they can vote themselves other people's money?
Absolutely. Taxation without representation. I think...
Don, we're on the same side. By the way, Don, we're on the same side on that issue. I got to put you on hold, Don. Stick with us through the break, Don, if you got a few minutes. We're up against the break here. We'll be right back. David Noble in for Aaron Flint, Montana Talks, 406-294-0970.
Now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite freely. These humans can stream all the top-rated national news channels on DirecTV, and now with no satellite dish.
This just in. Weather, sports, election coverage. DirecTV has it all, but something is missing. The satellite dish.
What are you doing?
I'm reporting the news. Back to you, Bob.
Here's some news. You're a buffoon.
Stream the top-rated national news channels. No satellite dish. Visit DirectTV.com. Internet required. Top-rated news based on 2023 Nielsen ratings.
Fox News Commentary.
Tuesday is the long-awaited first presidential debate between Donald Trump and Kamala Harris, and here's my advice for Trump. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
Interesting people are talking to Will Kane.
I said, what do I call you? I call you Dwayne, I call you The Rock. He said, now that I own it, I can call you The Rock.
Yes, I own it now, you can call me The Rock.
Our next guest needs no introduction. It is Dr. Jordan Peterson, my old friend and frenemy, Stephen A. Smith.
What is going on here? I see the Will Kane show in the background. I see the microphone.
Watch it live at noon Eastern, Monday through Thursday on FoxNews.com. And get the podcast 5 days a week at FoxNewsPodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
The stage is set for Tuesday night's first presidential debate face-off between Donald Trump and Kamala Harris. This is, of course, Donald Trump's second presidential debate this election cycle. His June 27th performance against Joe Biden effectively ended Joe's candidacy and forced the Democrats to change course. The Kamala debate will be much different for obvious reasons. She's a whole new candidate. And with that comes a minefield of traps Donald Trump must avoid. My advice to Trump is to talk less and listen more. He does not need to interrupt her or even attempt to speak over her. That's the most obvious trap. He also needs to watch his tone and his body language. If he comes across condescending or aggressive, he will play right into their hands and give her and Democrat pundits the victimhood escape hatch. Trump should make this debate all about Kamala and her policies. She has been largely unable or unwilling to define them, so let's put her on the hot seat. I'm Tommy Lahren.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
There is one change that should be made to Social Security finance immediately if we're serious about preserving the promise to those who have paid into the system for all their working lives to get the advertised benefits, and that is to remove the cap on taxable income for the payroll taxes both workers and companies pay. The so-called taxable maximum today stands at about $168,000. Income above that level is not subject to tax. The cap exists because of the outdated myth that Social Security is a pool of government savings that pays you back what you put in. Since benefits are capped, this logic says, so must be the tax payments. But our Social Security contributions have all been spent, and it's present and future workers who will pay for our benefits. And the fact that the 6% of workers who make more than the taxable maximum have had stronger earnings growth over history than the rest of us has made tax revenues insufficient to keep the system running. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by...
So where should we go next?
Sponsored by Pfizer. Brought to you from the Hot Spring Spas and Hot Tub Company, Friends Recommend Studio.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
We're talking to Don in Billings about property tax issues, one of the hot button issues. Don, thanks for sticking with us.
Yeah. Biggest thing is, you know, you look around at all the property tax and what these counties, city, and even the school district. That's another thing that frustrates me. This is you see all the administration in the school district.
Oh, yeah.
Came up with 6% raise for all these teachers. And the the taxpayers downed the mill levy for safety. Look at all the people that they wanted to hire outside of putting cameras on the buildings, special doors, locks on the doors, and whatnot. But they found the money to give teachers. They gave money to the administrators, all a raise. As far as I'm concerned, either take a pay cut or not such a big raise and put and spend the $750,000, $800,000, whatever we're taking to put cameras and safety features on those buildings. At the end of the day, they thought about their bank accounts, just like the last superintendent who took $5 million and padded his pocket and 200 administrators out of that COVID fund. That's corruption as far as I'm concerned. That money was to go to air handling units on these buildings to better exchange air in these buildings for these kids, all that COVID stuff. But they spent it on themselves because, we were stressed out for all this other stuff. I was stressed out. Look at all the people in this city that were stressed out, in this country that are stressed out. Look at all the millions of dollars they're spent. At the end of the day, property tax. I'm tired of paying my property tax because anybody and everybody can vote on it. I see the county government tear down a grandstands down there that was built in 1949, and it took them a long time to tear it down because it was built really good. And now you got a new superintendent down there, administrator, wants to build another grandstand.
Yeah, isn't it
ridiculous?
Well, and people like me and you, Don, we have to tighten our belts. But isn't it interesting how the government folks, they never have to tighten their belts? Us out here in the private sector, people that actually work for a living, I'm having to cut my budget, I'm having to cut my spending just to make ends meet, but yet all the government people, they're all getting big raises and getting more money. Yeah, no, great point, Don, and well said on the property tax issue. I'm 100% with you on the property tax issue. I just placed the blame for that on the cities and the counties, not the state government, and I give credit for the rebate that we did get. Of course, I would like to see that to be of more. If they've got a $2 or $3 billion surplus, I'm with John Jackson on that. Give us it all back. I don't want pennies, coming back, and then you get to do a slush fund for spending parties. Let's go to Mary in Billings. Mary, thanks for calling in.
You bet. I appreciate you, Ben. I appreciate this program. Anyway, I'm another struggling citizen in the Billings, Montana. I've lived here for a long time. I've paid a lot of taxes. But they keep building, but they keep upping our taxes, and I just don't quite understand. They switched that storm sewer over to the Billings Public Utilities, and I finally got a bill after 2 or 3 months, which they didn't explain much of anything, and I'm still waiting on hold to get a call back from them. But what is the property tax going to replace what they took off the storm sewer on special assessments? It's just mind-boggling.
Oh, it is, Mary. Nobody understands all that stuff. I mean, your property tax bill is virtually indecipherable.
Well, they sure got it downsized. I mean, they got all these things that you just never even knew you were paying for.
Oh, for sure.
And then
yeah,
they keep adding extra. So what do we do now?
Well, what do we do now is we get the Liberal City Council thrown out of office and get some decent people on the Billings City Council. We get the school board people thrown out of office and get some decent people on the school board. We get some decent county commissioners who will cut spending and do some things like that. That's what we need to do. And that's why folks talk about how local elections are so important. Yeah, let's talk about the presidential election. Let's talk about the U.S. Senate election. But when it comes right down to it, our property taxes, which is maybe the most important issue for a lot of us, that's controlled by the local elections. That's why we got to pay attention to that stuff.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
We all know what the big story is this week. Tom Brady generating such headlines as why his Fox Sports debut wasn't worth $350 million. And Tom Brady was a quarterback god. As a TV analyst, he's incomplete. Also, very moving video from Princess Kate in which she said she's finished her chemo and is trying to stay cancer-free. The last time meant something incredibly tough for us as a family. Very moving pictures of her and William and the kids. At the same time,
Patti Schialfa, the wife of Bruce Springsteen and a longtime member of his band, revealed in a documentary that she was diagnosed with a form of blood cancer in 2018, which led to her curtailing her public appearances and bad performances. All right, I know it's the ABC debate. And Corey Lewandowski told me on Media Buzz that people like Dick Cheney, who have backed Kamala Harris, are bitter and angry and living in the past. Stay tuned. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.